Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow followers or disciples of Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 16. We'll read verses 21 through 26. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, for this shall not happen to you." But he turned aside and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do you remember playing the game Follow the Leader as a child? It's a very simple game. Very, very simple game. It's exactly what it says. The leader does something or says something, and you are to follow and mimic what he does. If he or she said to raise your right hand, you raised your right hand. If they said stand on one leg, you stood on one leg. If they said bark like a dog, you barked like a dog. What he or she said, you did, or you said. Pretty simple. Being a disciple of Jesus is essentially like playing follow the leader. In fact, that's what the word disciple means. It means follower. As a disciple of Jesus, we do what Jesus says. We follow and do what Jesus does. Simple, right? Very simple. Well, not so much. Jesus' disciples found this out for themselves in our text for today. First of all, they were shocked at the path that their leader was about to travel, the way that he was going. He says in our text from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. The disciples had become convinced that Jesus was in fact the Messiah, the promised Savior. These words were completely shocking because they thought this was the chosen one sent to us by God. And they figured if he's traveling to Jerusalem, he's going there to finally fulfill his destiny as the Messiah. And in their minds, they thought his destiny meant establishing an earthly kingdom on this earth. Setting up a rule from Jerusalem would finally throw the reins off of the hated Roman rulers who were over them, restore Israel's kingdom to its previous glory and even beyond. Definitely wasn't on their radar that the Messiah was going to go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. It didn't make any sense to them. And you can see why then Peter reacts very badly to Jesus' words. He actually, our text says, rebukes Jesus for saying such a thing. Definitely not the right thing to do if you are trying to follow your leader. You don't tell him, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. But Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Jesus, of course, responds very harshly to what Peter said and did here. He did so just to show the disciples how far off their thinking was in regards to his plan, God's plan of salvation. He rebukes him sternly because he needed to show Peter just how far off his thinking was compared to Jesus' thinking, what he had actually come to do, and to help them to follow more closely the words and actions of their leader. In their minds, this suffering and this sacrifice that Jesus spoke of In their minds, that was a terrible thing. That was the worst possible thing that could happen. Jesus had to remind Peter that this type of thinking was actually a temptation from Satan to try to convince Jesus to walk away from God the Father's plan of salvation. And so we read, "But Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" And then Jesus goes on to instruct them what it means to truly be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And so these words that we have recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew are also meant not just for Jesus' disciples of his day, but also for us modern-day disciples or followers of Jesus. Jesus wants to instruct us this morning as to what it means to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. And like the disciples in our text, we might be a little bit shocked, a little surprised at what Jesus has to say. That's because just like Jesus' disciples, we too often have our thinking clouded by either our human reason or our own sinful flesh. We too often have a thought process that goes along with the thinking of men rather than being mindful of the things of God. And so to help us remember and understand what our leader calls us to do as his believers, as his disciples, as followers, let's look at some of the qualifications of a disciple from our text. And we'll find that all of them begin with the letter D. The first D of discipleship is found in verse 24 of our text, and that is desire. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me." Well, that first D makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? To become a follower of Jesus, you first have to want to be a follower of Jesus. What we need to remember, however, is that even the desire to become a follower of Jesus is a gift from God himself. God is the one who works that desire in us to want to be a follower or disciple of Jesus. We can't conjure up that feeling or that desire on our own. There's a passage in Philippians chapter 2 that says, "For it is God who works in you both to will or desire and to do for his good pleasure." It's often, unfortunately, this desire inside of us that is lacking in us as disciples, isn't it? So the question is, how can we increase our desire to follow Jesus more closely and be more focused on the things of God? That answer, again, is found in God himself. We turn to his word. We hear what he has to say to us, and we find in that word the things of God. There you will find his promises. And you'll find not only an increase of your desire for God, but you'll find his desires for you. The Bible tells us some of those desires of God. It says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That means God's desire for you is that you are saved eternally and that you learn more and more about him, come to that knowledge of the truth through that very same word of God. The more we hear and learn from that word, the more our desire to follow him will increase. The more we will want the things that he wants, the more our thinking will line up with God's thinking and the things of God. His desires will become our desires. The Bible promises us in Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." The second D of discipleship is denial. Verse 24 again says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" If we desire to become a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ, then we must deny our self. Self is the enemy of discipleship. Consider all the different words used with self to show just how dominant our own self can be over our lives. And it's often negative, often in a detrimental way. Think of some of the words that we hear and use in the English language that are negatively associated with self. or have some negative connotations at least. Self-righteousness, self-centeredness, self-interest, self-confidence, self-importance, self-indulgence, self-reliance, self-satisfaction, self-seeking. You could probably think of several more. Many times we don't want to follow our leader, Jesus. We want to follow our self. And that's why being a true disciple, a follower of Jesus, means denying your self. That means saying no to our natural instincts and natural desires. Our natural self, which is sometimes called our sinful flesh. It's a drastic change. It's a turning of our compass from a pointing towards our self, our self-love, our self-gratification, and self-advancement to being selfless. Loving God and loving others. Again, that change is not something that can come about on our own. Not something we can accomplish or effect within our own hearts. Only God can do it. Through our baptism, He puts to death our old self and recreates us as His new special creation. People who desire Him above everything else. Now, it's not just a denying or a putting off of our old self, our sinful flesh. It also involves a taking up. There's a putting off and there is a taking up. Jesus says, deny yourself and take up His cross and follow Him. Our crosses that Jesus points to are, of course, not His cross. That's a cross only He can bear. He bore that cross to pay the punishment for our sins and give us life. The crosses that He says we must take up as His followers are the difficulties, the sufferings, the persecutions, things that we are called upon to bear that often are a direct result of us being disciples of Jesus. Burdens that will come from as a result of following Him. And that leads us to the third D of discipleship. Death. Verse 25 of our text says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If our desire is for this life, for the things of this world, for self, we will lose out on that full, abundant life that Jesus promises, and especially we'll lose out on that eternal life that Jesus came to give us. A full, abundant life here, an eternal life in heaven. And that's why God speaks so seriously in His Word about not just denying our sinful flesh and denying self, but it actually says put it to death. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. We'll read first from Romans 6, verse 6. "For we know that our old self was crucified with Jesus so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Galatians 2:20 says this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And finally, Galatians 5:24, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Desire, denial, death. When we look at Jesus' words here and think about what He says is a requirement for being a disciple, we might ask ourselves the question, is this really a good idea? Is that something we really want to do? Look how hard it is to put those words into practice. Deny yourself, not just deny it, but put your sinful self to death. Look how many things Jesus calls us to give up. Is it worth it? Well, the reality is, however, that we aren't actually losing out on anything when we follow Jesus. Jesus gives us everything. And that's why the final D of deliverance I very intentionally left out of the outline of the bulletin. The last D of discipleship is actually deliverance. We need to remember that the disciples obviously overlooked a very important part of the words that Jesus spoke to them when he said what he was going to do in Jerusalem. They'd forgotten that very important last phrase where he said he would be raised the third day. They heard he's going to suffer and die at the hands of the Romans and the chief priests, and they forgot that he was going to rise again. Let's not forget that part as well. His death and his resurrection assures all of us that we will be delivered from our sufferings and our troubles of this life as well. One day we will be delivered even from the horrible prospect of eternal death itself. Jesus promises us, because I live, because he lives, you will live also. So yes, the demands of discipleship are great. It is not always easy to follow our leader, Jesus Christ. But rest assured, the rewards far outweigh the demands. Peter once had that thought himself. He wondered, is this all worth it? And he asked Jesus, he said, we have left all we have had to follow you. And Jesus' response was this. He said, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. We can trustingly follow our leader, Jesus, because he knows the way. We can trust his promises. Not only does he know the way, he is the way, the truth, and the life. May God's Spirit help us all to follow our leader, Jesus, always. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.